My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Warren Bernard is here with us, and we're going to look at a macro view of Carl Barks' Uncle Scrooge comics. First, Jimmy, what do you have?
I have patreon.com/JimRugg, where you can read a lot of my comics as I'm creating them. You can see the original art, the process behind them. I'm currently comparing two of my Image Street Angel comics, the first and the last comic I did in this series. It's based on the same story. Only one of them was published. I'm going through page by page and comparing those things. I also post a lot of my out-of-print zines and mini-comics, and you can find all of that at patreon.com/JimRugg.
Wholesome episode, but let's take it to the gutter for a second, Jim. Red Room Issue 1 is coming out in May. Triple-sized first issue, 64 pages. It's going to start to come out on a monthly basis. Horror comic, murder on the dark web for fun and profit. Tens of thousands of people have pre-ordered their comics through their comic shop and through the Fantagraphics website. There are many vectors to get your hands on this comic, and it is going to start coming out monthly, so get it put on your pull list. These are some of the other variant covers to go along with Red Room issue number one. So there are many opportunities to get it, and many varieties of cover to get the comic as well. Warren, thank you so much for bringing a collection of these original Uncle Scrooge comics. And we're going to dive into the actual stories at a later date with a bunch of these comics. But it is cool to get a nice survey of your favorite Carl Barks.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out, Comics Journal did their 100 Best Comics of the Century under Tom Spurgeon, but a bunch of the critics kind of weighed in as how they put together their list. Carl Barks' Uncle Scrooge comics comes in at number 20. These are considered some of the greatest comics in American comics history, Carl Barks being the outstanding, the good duck artist.
The good duck artist, yeah, exactly. And these things, I discovered them in college when I first went to my first comics conventions, and there was one guy there by the name of Kim Weston. I think he was selling these for like $3 or $4 a piece or something like that. It was some absurdly cheap price. And I bought them. I bought one or two, and I really enjoyed them. The storytelling is just wonderful. And the whole underlying concept of Uncle Scrooge as the richest duck in the world, the sheer joy and basically praise of capitalism in this
celebration
cannot be underestimated. This is a great one. So, and as you know, this is actually coming off of a stereotype of people from Scotland being very thrifty. And Uncle Scrooge showed that thrift. And part of what goes through all of this, he does stuff with Donald and Huey, Louie, and Dewey. And every time there's a lesson there in terms of thriftiness from Uncle Scrooge. And they go off on adventures, and almost every adventure, Uncle Scrooge manages to make more money.
Right.
There isn't like
he is the hero.
He's the hero, exactly. And so, and the coloring is great. The dialogue is great. You've got the Beagle Boys, who were the great protagonists for both Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck in his comics.
Antagonists.
Antagonists, right, yes. I'm sorry. Uncle Scrooge is the protagonist.
Four-tier storytelling. I was reading the Jaime Hernandez How to Make Comics thing from that 10-year anniversary, and he was talking about having disrespect for people who line up their panel borders, and he's like citing John Stanley and Carl Barks as the template. Like, you can't be lazy when laying out your pages. And how would this work, man? There would be like, I know in a Donald Duck comics, there would be like 10 pages, a 10-page story from Carl Barks, and then you have the bad duck artists do the rest. Did Carl Barks do complete issues?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did complete issues, because you had, oh, and by the way, here we go. I love this kind of stuff, where I got my gold back, my $1 billion is saved, and he is just like, like you would in a bath, he's relaxing in gold. So in these, you had not only Donald Duck, but you also had Gyro Gearloose, who I loved. Because it was all about inventions and stuff like that. And, this was a secondary feature.
There would be a kind of resurgence of this kind of storytelling. Like the things that Carl Barks created, lived on to kids my age with a cartoon series called DuckTales.
Yes, yeah.
That was, like, really huge and a very well-done cartoon show. But the genesis is all the stuff that Carl Barks laid down.
And here, this is typical, all right? So here he is relaxing in his bathtub full of money. and so there's a big emerald contest that's going on. And just sitting up on his shelf, look at all these, you know, rare jewels. And they grab this thing, Yulu and Dewey don't want their uncle to not win. So they bring this thing and at the clubhouse, "Great Caesars, Mr. McDuck. Is that an emerald or a melon?"
Ward, do you have a favorite story amongst these?
Yes, I do. There were two stories, actually. It's one of the rare times where there was a continuation. So my first favorite story is this one, The Second Richest Duck. And this whole story is about how Uncle Scrooge was, and here you get, "I'm ashamed of you, Donald. You're a wastrel and a spendthrift." This is part of that dialogue where Scrooge is telling, you know, Donald's like, "I don't care what you're doing, just don't spend money. You don't spend money on anything."
This is 1956.
1956, and this is issue number 15. In here, and he reads the newspaper, no, "I can't be, it's too awful. Flinthard Glomgold, the fabulous South African mine owner, is now the richest duck in the world." And of course, Uncle Scrooge is just devastated to hear this story.
It's so great, his expressions of like pain and suffering and disbelief.
and oh, by the way, if you look up Flinthard, it's actually a two-word phrase. It's, you know, it's basically a hard heart, okay, because, you know, flint is used to start fires and everything like that. So that is purposeful in the name, because here is an antagonist to Scrooge McDuck that his name itself is screaming, "I don't care, I am just here to make money." This is great. That upstart, that Johnny come lately, he can't do this to me. And so they basically do a competition. This is great. Clerk, "What is the latest orders of my wealth?" "Fantastic, sir, completely fantastic. I have it right here. The total value of all your mines, mills, money bins, and so forth is 623.62. Okay? And so they go off, and what they do is they take this ball of twine with them, just in case, all right, to show his total wealth. And strangely enough, on the boat, they run across this guy, all right, right here, that winds up to be you, Flinthard Cromgold. "You're the old crank I met on shipboard coming over." And what was Flinthard doing? He was taking a bath in his money.
This is so good, man, because I'm thinking about like a time in like the late 90s or whatever when Paul Allen, co-creator of Microsoft, was in a contest against Larry Ellison, the guy who created Oracle, to try to have like the biggest yachts. And Larry Ellison got mad that that Paul Allen built one that was 6 feet longer than his.
Well, and today, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. So, and here you see with the pound on Flinthard Glomgold's money bin, and you get this great picture on the inside that he's got so much money he has to have a crane inside the money bin to put more money into the money bin. And so this is Musk and Bezos, if you think about it, all right? So the whole thing is just how are they going to go ahead and do this? And of course, you know, everyone's really upset at the both of them, and they go ahead and they find out that they're even with money, and it came down to their both balls of twine that they had saved. And they start...
I don't get the twine thing.
Well, people used to go ahead and save twine, all right, and make twine balls out of them.
I get that, but what's the value in that? Like,
it shows
this is lost on me.
It shows your thriftiness.
I see.
It shows your ability to go ahead and save things so that you don't have to buy things in the future.
This is such a mentality. My father-in-law, mother-in-law recently moved, so we went through all of their stuff. This mentality is strong with that generation.
It's very strong with that generation. My grandfather, to his dying day, always kept rubber bands around his wrist. So he always had rubber bands available.
Yeah, I give everybody who grew up in the Depression like all the grace in the world to
absolutely
be as crazy as you
it's
want to be.
It so affected those people that moved. You know, unless you talk to them, there's no way for you to understand. So they go through, and so something happens to, you know, they're trying to go ahead and do the balls of twine, and something happens.
I love the silhouettes, man.
Yeah, they're so strong.
And also, you know, you get scenes like this that Barks could draw with any of them.
There's a lot of perspective.
And it's worth, you know, a little bit of Barks' stuff is he's a guy that comes to cartooning later.
Yes.
Had a very full life up to that point, doing a lot of different jobs, getting to the point of working for Disney in animation and not finding that fulfilling. Whenever the comics come up, he loves that a lot more because it's like control. You can tell the whole story. It engages with him. But these adventures, like this kind of stuff, traveling to different lands, I can remember reading about him using like National Geographic and things for reference. It was wonder. Like you would read this stuff and it was just incredible. You're traveling the world with these characters, and Barks was up to the task of showing that stuff.
And by the way, rereading this now, because when I first got this, I was 20 and they enthralled me then. And I reread them in anticipation of this. They're great.
Oh, they're great comics.
These are really, you sit there and you go, wow, this dialogue is not a children's dialogue in any way, shape, or form. The stories they're telling, the morality they're trying to tell is a different story. But these are great stories.
It's as good as the best of newspaper strips from around that time, which would have been considered the gold standard. And to think of it in context, 1956, like even EC comics are ham-fisted and cheesy and pretty don't have any soul or heart to them. So they're just like in comics, there just wasn't much. You had some Jack Cool stuff doing some interesting things. Walt Kelly, when he would do his cup of coffee in comics, interesting stuff. Maybe none of it was happening in any kind of comics where the anatomy is correct or whatever, you know, where you're drawing regular humans. What's the closest? Maybe Eisner at this time or something. The best of comics really was
this
kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you read the typical comic from 1956 and then you read this, the whole structure, the story, the dialogue is far better than anything you would have read at that time. I don't care, Marvel, DC, or what have you. So just to kind of round this up, so things have happened to the various balls of twine. And because of the animal stampeding and stuff like that, they're now down to both of them have these itty-bitty balls about this big, and they start rolling them out. This is how, you know, competitive they are. And they're the exact same length. And both of them are like, oh my God, all right? I can't believe this. And it says, right here. But neither of you, Uncle Scrooge, you're only one of the richest ducks. Not for a minute, boys. I still, as always, the one and only richest duck in the world, I have proof of that right here in my pocket. See, this string I had tied to my first dime adds more than enough to make me the champion. And so Scrooge McDuck emerges as the richest duck in the world.
Boy, they're really counting their assets. Everything's accounted for here.
And look at this. Gleep, and you know,
this is where the IRS agent needs to pop up from under the bush or whatever. Like, he's got him dead to rights here.
Well, true as that may be, but as it is today, it's really clear he didn't pay any taxes running all of his, you know, railroads and mines and things like that. And then you got Gyro Gearloose, which I really enjoyed, and then you also got a smaller Uncle Scrooge story. So, all of these Uncle Scrooges were structured that way. A long story, short. Gyro Gearloose, another short Uncle Scrooge.
Which he did a lot with the Donald Duck stuff, too. You get those three ranges of, like, feature-length 10-pagers and one-pagers.
Right.
Really masterful cartoonist for a guy who, like I said, it's not like he starts when he's 15 doing comics.
Down to the lettering, it's beautiful, and you rarely see the originals of this
I've never seen
our shores.
Yeah.
I've been to shows, like, sort of all over the world. So the love for the ducks, man, in Denmark, forget about it. And I saw some originals in Finland. They're as big as our background here, man, like more than 2 feet tall, these images.
Hey, Scott, like to see one of these artist editions. So if you can get working on the Carl Barks artist edition, I'd appreciate it.
So anyway, now 2 years later, all right, in 59.
Are you saying Glomgold is coming back?
And Glomgold is coming back. So this was issue 15. This is issue 27. No, September, November, 1959. And here it is, the Money Champ. And I'm sorry, I love this opening sequence, okay? Beautiful morning. The sun shining on my money bin. The sounds of happy people all around me. Hi, champ. Fine day, champ. Moments like this, I feel proud of the mark I've made in the world and the grateful people of Duckburg for understanding my thrifty ways. I own factories and stores and railroads and banks and popcorn wagons. Sounds like Warren Buffett. I'm pretty much a big shot around here. I'll loan you a dime, champ. People have their little jokes about my wealth, and I am wealthy. I've worked hard to get that way. No other city in the world has a duck richer than Scrooge McDuck. He has a whole money bin full of money. Wow, he must be the money champion of the whole universe. Well, that just set up the whole story.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So here we go. And once again, out of nowhere, this duck pops up and smacks Scrooge McDuck across the face. Okay, I want a challenge. And they start fighting, and they both come in front of the judge. And initially, Scrooge McDuck doesn't recognize him. Stranger, you must be mad. I am not. I almost defeated McDuck in a contest once in Africa. This time I'll finish the job. I remember you now. You're Flintheart Glomgold. And they go at it again. Just to go ahead and...
The rematch.
The rematch, exactly. So, and I don't remember how I got both of these, but when I got them both, it was like, oh my God, I love this. This is like one of the best two-parters I've ever seen. I've made a lot of money. I've made billions of dollars more. So here are these, you know, this is in 2 years, he's going in 1959. I've made billions of dollars more. So the concept of money and the concept of a lot of money is on a different scale here than the rest of the economy. And, you know, so here they go. They go after it. And so what they decide to do, the only fair way is to turn everything we own into silver dollars and measure the piles. And so they go and, you know, of course, they're still fighting. Okay. Well, a challenge is channeled. Soon Uncle Scrooge is turning his many properties into silver dollars. And that's what he does. Then he goes to Petrolia, which, by the way, are... the Arabs, where all the oil is. Now, why they're going there, I don't know, but this feeds into other stereotypes. But back then, by the way, as it is today, a lot of the oil came out of the Middle East. So, ergo this. And no gold, the richest mines. And so, there's flim-flam stuff going on here. There's all kinds of stuff. And here they are building their piles of wealth. And of course, you know, they've got to have people come out, surveyors come out and see which is higher and which is wider and stuff like that. Golly, look at the difference in those piles. That challenger is making our champion look like a bum. Boo. Boo.
He's so depressed. People don't believe in him anymore.
They used to call me champ. I now can hardly speak at all. And so here it is. And think of how quickly people turned against him just for the mere fact that his pile of money is not as big.
He's a loser.
He's a loser, right, exactly. So, anyway, it goes through, and here you've got the surveyor equipment come out, and they come to realize that Flintheart Glomgold, in the middle, was a big balloon.
Cheating.
See, they go underneath. They're like, hey, you know, why is that? That's right, because they found out that the pile was growing very fast. And why is it growing very fast? And so, old Flinty's money pile grows even taller, even when no money is being piled on it. Aha, there's a problem. And they go underneath and they go into the sewers and they find this big contraption that he goes ahead and punctures the balloon that's been inflating Flintheart Glomgold's. So he was cheating.
So he became dishonorable in 2 years, man. At least when I did that first contest, it was a fair fight.
Right, right. Although once they go back, it's, you know, it's very, very similar in terms of the piles of silver dollars. Now, of course, where they got all the silver dollars from, you know, given how much money we're talking about here, I don't know where. So here we go. And the bet was eating each other's hat. So here it is, this stereotypical voodoo guy comes along. You know, this is talking about politically incorrect. This was just, you know, it's 1959. That's what they did. Lenses today, this is a bad thing. Fine. So the bottom line is he sells some of this juice that will go ahead and shrink down the money. And he tries to do it. Crocodile skin bags, the only thing besides ducks that's Javar juice won't shrink. So he tries to throw the grenades. And of course, Flintheart has got some of his own. And it comes down to that a little bit of it. So one of the things, he hits a blunderbuss into this big cannon. It shrinks the cannon. The cannon shoots off its little Jamba Juice thing, hits the hat, shrinks it. All right. The surveyors are drawing the side on top of McDuck's money pile. And now the chain crew is going around the base of Glomgold's stack. And of course, there's Restless Anticipation, and DBC is basically the Duck Broadcasting Corporation, because you wouldn't have BBC or NBC.
The wildest part of this is today.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
I mean, these are whatever news agencies, whatever platform you want, they're covering the wealth stories. And it's big news whenever something fluctuates, whenever you bet on Bitcoin or it goes awry.
You're right. The same kind of thing. And here are people cheering, and okay, the silhouettes. And they wind up, find out Mr. Glomgold's pile is 1,100 cubic inches smaller than Mr. McDuck's. All right. And then to go ahead and satisfy the bet, Flintheart goes to eat the hat which has been shrunk. I've been robbed. I'm sorry. These two, and it's the only time that I'm aware of that there was this two-part thing, that there was a revisit. And, you know, someone will...
That's amazing, because, I mean, how long did he did these comics for? 20 years?
Or some years.
I think he did 100 issues of Scrooge, I think.
Yeah. So, anyway, then you get Gyro Gear Loose. So this is Uncle Scrooge, and every cover, there's some... thing concerning money. Now, these covers weren't done by Carl Barks. I don't remember who did them. You know, all the dollar signs.
There's a good gag on every cover.
There's a good gag. Yeah, it's,
you know, look at it. He's going to have a heart attack. Look at the boy's disrespecting money that way.
And look at this. Tips on preserving. He's taking all of his coins and preserving them in jars,
jam
the way
drawers.
You would jam. You know, he respects the law, and, you know, he still has to go after that dollar. Of course, that dollar means nothing to him in the big picture of things. Gold coins coming out of a bag and growing money on trees, of course. Palm red with the dollar.
Christmas issue.
And, of course, making cookies. You have to have the dollar-shaped cookies. And
what a bizarre comic. You know, it's so hard to describe this comic,
yes.
Even. One of the best cartoonists ever, and it's all about money.
Yeah.
I kind of like this cheap watch I bought for a buck. It's ticking me helps to sleep. And, of course, he sleeps in the middle of, you know. Unfortunately, none of these had the classic scene of him diving through his money like a porpoise.
Right.
Okay.
They saved that for DuckTales.
Yeah, I was going to say. The other interesting note for this is the 70s is Richie Rich's popularity.
Yes.
You know, unrelated in terms of quality of cartooning, although Wayne Kremer, you know, pretty good cartoonist. But... like, those books were the most popular comics of the time. You know, there were like 25 or 30 Richie Rich variants a month. Yeah. I guess it makes sense, capitalist country, that you would have these super rich superheroes or heroes, you know.
Well, look at the, you know, the dichotomy today in terms of some people view, you know, Musk and Bezos as these great things. And then there are the other parts of the population that now are like, well, now, wait a minute. How did you really get that money? What are you really doing?
Right.
You know, all of those kinds of things. Uncle Scrooge, this was 1950s sheer unadulterated capitalist. No, as you saw, you know, high champ. There is no down market stuff going on here. There is no badness in terms of what they're doing. Everything they're doing is above board, and it's to the benefit of everybody else. What we would consider to be a naive view of a robber baron.
I mean, the first issue that we looked at, you know, that Glomgold guy, he has South African diamond mines.
Yes.
We know what happens there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So there it is, Uncle Scrooge. For everybody, I highly recommend, you know, getting a couple of issues or getting the reprints that came out.
Yeah, Fantagraphics is very affordable books.
And one of the beautiful reprint jobs.
Yes.
You know, they've done incredible work. We talk a lot about, like, color quality and reprints. Those are exceptional.
Shouts to Rich Tomasso for keeping authentic color on those books. And we got them all, man. So we're going to have to cover those on a more microscopic level in the future. For now, let's bounce, man. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what do you have out there?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where I'm posting out-of-print zines and mini-comics, original art, doing comparison posts, much like some of the videos we've done. You can find all that and more at patreon.com/JimRug.
Thank you very much, Warren Bernard, for bringing your amazing comic collection here for us to look at and show off to the Kayfabe audience. Right now I have... I have Red Room issue 1 is going to be coming out in stores in May of 2021. It's going to become a monthly comic, so get it put on your pull list. I pre-ordered the comic through the Fantagraphics website. I also have a Patreon where early adopters can read the comics ahead of time. $3 gets you the archive. There are 3 complete issues up there right now, and I put new strips up every Tuesday.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one less set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.